Good morning, Ocean View. Good morning. Welcome one and all on this beautiful day that the Lord has made. I can hear you rejoicing and tell you are glad in it. God gave us a beautiful morning this morning to come together and to worship. It's so good to see each and every one of you. And welcome to our Ocean View family that is joining us by way of live streaming. It's so important that you are here with us, being a part of us and worshiping with us. And I want to remind you, you can find a copy of our bulletins online so that you can follow along with us and share in those times when we have congregational responses. Just wanted to remind you of that. Also, if you're at home, you might want to find a packet of salt. Just a little packet of salt. We've shared a packet of salt here. Everyone in the congregation should have one. And we'll be using this a little later in the message. So if you're at home, I invite you to find yourself a packet of salt or even just a salt shaker. That'll be fine. At this time, we invite Delaine McDonald to come forward for some time with us.
Good morning. I'd like to lift up a couple of announcements that have been on the screen and in our other ways of communicating with you this week, but it's always good to hear it verbally as well. I would like to lift up Rise Against Hunger. Cheryl Fulton was not able to be here this morning, but she asked me to lift that up. This is a wonderful way for us to pack thousands of meals for people in need, and it will be happening right here at Ocean View very soon. This year, the sign-up is being done all online. So if you're someone that feels less comfortable with that, please speak to me or Cheryl or anyone that you feel comfortable with, Lisa in the church office, and we can get you signed up. But all the sign-ups will take place online, and we hope that you will do that. Families can sign up to help with this initiative, Sunday school classes, other small groups in the church, and it's a great way for us to come together. I think that Cheryl said last year, or the last time that it was done, over 14,700, thank you, my mathematician, 14,700 meals were packed. So that's very impressive. So I hope that you will look at the details, which are also printed in your bulletin, and continue to ask questions about how you can get involved. Also would like to remind you that the spiritual gifts class starts this week. It will be for three consecutive Wednesdays. This is for those discovering your special spiritual gifts, which are special, of course, for the first time, and for those who know what your spiritual gifts are and need a time of rediscovery. We'll be exploring what spiritual gifts are, why we have them, and how to use them. These meetings will be at 6:30 in the multi-purpose room. We encourage you to wear a mask. It will be available in a hybrid format, both virtually and in person. You may sign up with Pastor Rick or myself, Delaine McDonald, or speak with Donna Fulwell, who will also be helping teach that class. And then finally, the Synoptic Gospels Bible study continues tomorrow with Matthew. It's not too late if you still would like to be a part of that. Again, that's a hybrid class. We meet again in the multi-purpose room following COVID precautions, and it's offered virtually and in person. So lots of opportunities to be in study and to grow our faith. So I hope you'll participate. So now at this time, let us bring ourselves in to be in a spirit of worship with our call to worship. If you would stand, please, for that call to worship. It is printed in your bulletin. And for those of you joining us online, you should have access to this as well. Quiet your mind, still your restlessness, come before God. Like a bird that lights on a branch, we come to the paws of God. Warm your heart, stir up your spirit, come before God. Like the flame dancing on a candle's wick, we come to the dance of God. Open your hands, meet the eyes of your neighbors, come before God. Like snowflakes falling in a winter night, beautiful alone, deep when gathered, we fall into the presence of God. We'll continue now with Psalm 124, our Psalter reading, which is also printed in your bulletin. If it had not been the Lord who was on our side, let Israel now say, if it had not been the Lord who was on our side when foes rose up against us, then they would swallow us up alive when their anger was kindled against us. Then the flood would have swept us away. The torrent would have gone over us. Then over us would have gone the raging waters. Blessed be the Lord who has not given us as prey to their teeth. We have escaped as a bird from the snare of the fowlers. The snare is broken and we have escaped. Our help is in the name of the Lord who made heaven and earth. You may be seated. If you will now, please join me for a time of prayer. Let us pray. Dear God, our Creator, our Redeemer, our friend, we come to you this morning acknowledging that you are a merciful and loving God. We thank you for your love, mercy, and grace that sustains us. We lift our hearts in gratitude for giving us this magnificently beautiful day, the warm sunshine, cooler breezes, low humidity. The sun that shines on the ocean waves looks like sparkling diamonds, the white wispy clouds dotted on the bright blue sky, and a hint of color in the leaves, the changing marsh grasses. As we look with hearts of gratitude toward the changing of the seasons, help us to let go of the trappings of this world and replace greed with gratitude, thoughtlessness with kindness, indifference with compassion, and selfishness with service. Forgive us, Lord, for all the ways we turn a blind eye and even our backs on a world that is hurting and suffering. Forgive us, Lord, when we behave as though climate justice, racial and cultural conflict, and poverty and hunger are not our problems. Forgive us, Lord, when we do not do our part to care for this planet. Forgive us for hurting others. Forgive us for not caring enough to show up and to show kindness. Forgive us for not loving you with all of our hearts, all of our minds, and souls. And forgive us, Lord, for not loving our neighbor as we love ourselves. We need you, O Lord. We cry to you now. We need you to heal our broken world. We need you as we continue to live in a nation and a world ravaged by a global pandemic. We pray for relief. So many are suffering. As a collective body, we now lift up the names of those who are in need. Lord, hear our prayers. Lord, we add to this list our people in the medical professions that are weary, Lord, that are working diligently to keep everyone as healthy as they can. We pray for our educational staffs and our children in schools that are doing the work that is needed and are exhausted and weary. Lord, we know that you say, come unto you and you will give us rest. We are in need of that rest, Lord. We pray for relief. We also pray, Lord, for those struggling with mental and emotional demons. We pray for those that are fighting addictions. We pray for the caregiver and the one being cared for. We pray for the lonely, the brokenhearted, and the lost. And now, Lord, as we are grateful to have come into your house, and to celebrate your holy name. Give us the confidence of the blessed and forgiven children of God that we are, as we join together in the prayer that Jesus, our Son, your Son, and our Savior, taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not in temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Wow. Can you do it again?
In an hour and a half.
That was fabulous. Thank you. If your body wasn't moving, I don't know what was wrong with you. That was great. I'll fly away. If you will now, we will turn to our scripture, which comes from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 9, verses 38 through 50. Hear these words. And he said to them, well, he did say to them, but not at that place. John said to him, "Teacher, we saw someone casting out demons in your name, and we tried to stop him, because he was not following us." But Jesus said, "Do not stop him, for no one who does a deed of power in my name will be able soon afterward to speak evil of me. Whoever is not against us is for us. For truly I tell you, whoever gives you a cup of water to drink because you bear the name of Christ will by no means lose the reward. If any of you put a stumbling block before one of these little ones who believe in me, it would be better for you if a great millstone were hung around your neck and you were thrown into the sea. If your hand causes you to stumble, cut it off. It is better for you to enter life maimed than to have two hands and go to hell, to the unquenchable fire. And if your foot causes you to stumble, cut it off. It is better for you to enter life lame than to have two feet and to be thrown into hell. And if your eye causes you to stumble, tear it out. It is better for you to enter the kingdom of God with one eye than to have two eyes and to be thrown into hell, where their worm never dies and the fire is never quenched. For everyone will be salted with fire. Salt is good. But if salt has lost its saltiness, how can you season it? Have salt in yourselves and be at peace with one another. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Would you pray with me? Lord, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of these your people's hearts be acceptable in your sight, for you are our strength and our Redeemer. In Christ's name we pray, amen. Have you noticed a few for hire signs at some of our local restaurants? There seems to be a bit of a staffing shortage in the area. Recently, there were two local people looking for jobs in the paper. "Look, here's an ad for a server," the first fellow said. "No, I don't want it," the second fellow said. "It says you have to fill the salt shakers. It's too hard to get the salt through those tiny holes." In another text, Jesus calls his disciples the salt of the earth. That means you and me. Hold up your salt packets. Now turn to the person closest to you and say, "Got salt?" Friends, every follower of Jesus Christ is called to a higher standard of living. Our standard of living is measured in terms of our higher standard of loving. Being salt means we are not trying to fill the shakers with salt. Our call as salt means getting out of the shakers to season the world around us. Our call is to love like Christ by living like Christ. Think back to our high school chemistry classes. Do you recall what the chemical formula is for common table salt? NaCl, I'm impressed. Sodium chloride has a ratio of 1:1 each of the respective ions. Sodium is an extremely active element, and when found naturally, is always linked to or combined with another element. Chlorine is a poisonous gas that gives bleach a strong, offensive odor. Put the two of them together, and you get a very valuable commodity. Salt was an essential part of the culture of Jesus' day. They may not have known the chemical formula for salt, but they did know its value. It was so scarce in the ancient world, it was used as currency in some countries. These were the days before refrigeration, of course, and salt was regularly used as a preservative. It put a kind of life into the food it preserved. In fact, the Greeks used to see salt being like a soul in a dead body. It defended against rottenness and corruption of that which it preserved. In Leviticus 2:13, salt is seen as a purifying agent for grain offerings. When burned in the fire, the salt made the grain a pure offering before God. Of course, salt also seasons. Even today, we all know how essential salt is for enhancing the taste of food. You may have heard about how a popular culinary item we can't seem to do without these days came into being. It was invented by accident back in 1853. George Crumb was a chef in New York. I think that's a wonderful name for a chef, Crumb. One of his customers insisted his French fry potatoes were too soggy, and he kept sending them back to the kitchen. Anyone guess what can happen when you annoy the chef by repeatedly sending something back to the kitchen? Crumb felt like he needed to teach this picky patron a lesson. So this time, the chef sliced the fries extra thin. Then he fried them to a crisp. Finally, he drowned the fries in salt. He couldn't believe it. The complainer actually loved them. That's the story of how potato chips were born. Remember the potato chip advertisement which boasts no one can eat just one? Well, it's not so hard to eat just one if the potato chip has no salt. The same for French fries or popcorn. About 0.4% of our body weight is salts. That's about 40 teaspoons full. So a certain level of salt content in the human body is necessary to regulate and maintain proper health and life. Jesus told his disciples, "You are the salt of the earth." In our text, he goes on to ask the question, "What value is salt if it loses its flavor, its saltiness?" 2,000 years later, the question still applies for each of us who are his disciples. So, dear salty ones, is there anything distinctive enough about our lives of faith that identifies us as Christ's disciples? Is the world around you being seasoned by your salty presence? Are you making any real contribution to those around you? Is the redemptive love of Jesus Christ flowing through your life and actions? The answers to these questions are crucial. We get a sense of how important it is that we got salt when we look at the preceding verses of our text concerning saltiness. If your hand offends you, cut it off. If your foot causes you to stumble, cut it off. If your eye offends you, pluck it out. It's better to go into heaven with one eye and one foot and one hand than into hell with both hands, feet, and both eyes intact. Jesus is not advocating here for one-handed, single-footed, and single-eyed Christians. He is talking about a radical kind of witness, an extraordinary kind of love. He's talking about the whole purpose of our Christian faith. Being salt means to live in a way which reveals to the world the love of God. That love is so great. God gave us Jesus, God's only begotten Son, so that whoever believes in him will not perish, but have everlasting life. That everlasting life starts right here and right now. It goes on into completeness in eternity. When we are salt, we receive God's love. Then we in turn season our world so that people see God's love and receive it. Our lives become an invitation which we share with others. It's said that the Guinness record set for the shortest sermon ever was made by an Episcopal priest. He stood up in the pulpit and said one word, love. Then he sat down. I wonder if I could get away with a one-word sermon here at Ocean View on a Sunday. Well, there may be some out there who wish I would try. Well, this one word, love, is at the heart of our Christian faith. It's a real, radical, life-changing love. It is love not only in word, but also in action. I want to share this moving true story told by a pastor about Dr. E.V. Hill. Dr. Hill pastored a church in the Watts area of Los Angeles. During the burnings, lootings, and community rioting there in the 1960s, Dr. Hill did a very painful thing. He denounced the acts of his neighbors who were destroying property and stealing from area merchants. During the worst part of the rioting, this kind of preaching brought threats to him and his church. However, the worse the rioting became, the more he publicly condemned the rioters who resorted to violence. One night, Dr. Hill's telephone rang, and his wife noticed how serious and solemn he was after the caller hung up. "What was that all about?" she asked. "Oh, nothing," replied Dr. Hill. His answer caused his wife to keep pressing him until he told her, "They have threatened to blow up my car with me in it." Late in the night, they discussed how impossible it would be to protect their car from wire bombings 24 hours a day. The next morning, Dr. Hill went into the kitchen and noted that his wife was not in the house. Neither was his automobile in the carport. He became alarmed. But a few minutes later, he saw his car roll into the driveway with his wife at the wheel. She had driven the car around the block to make sure it would be safe for her husband to drive that morning. From that day, said Dr. Hill, I have never asked my wife if she loves me. Beloved, how would we respond if we were asked to point out how we have shown Jesus that we love him? Could we identify our love in action? Could anyone else who's around us? That's what being salt is all about. That's what the world needs from us. Our family, our friends, our community, our world is looking for concrete demonstrations of our Christian love in action, both as individuals and as a local church. Sometimes it can be a hard challenge to overcome, that is, to acknowledge out loud or in an action your commitment to following Jesus Christ. Even when among friends or family or neighbors or even some church folk, we can be like the woman a pastor tells about who went to lunch with 11 other women. They were all wives with children. They decided to take a French language class together while their children were all in school. There was one especially bold, rather outgoing type among them. And one day she asked these ladies, "How many of you have been faithful throughout your marriage?" Just one woman raised her hand. Later that evening, one of those ladies told her husband about that incident. Her husband looked crestfallen when she confessed she was not the woman who raised her hand. Seeing his distress, she quickly reassured him, "Oh dear, no, 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 I have been faithful to you. For our entire marriage, I have never strayed." He responded, "But you didn't raise your hand." And she answered, "I was ashamed." Beloved, we know it can be so easy to accommodate ourselves to the world, to sit silently in the company of the forces of evil. When we do so, we thereby lose our influence and witness for Christ. It can be so easy to just blend in with our neighbors so that our faith is of little distinguishing value. Does our Christian faith ever offer an alternate value system, another way of being? Yes, even when we are among our nice, yet worldly or unsaved neighbors. Acknowledging our faith, being salty, doesn't have to take the form of some great or dramatic or offensive gesture. On the contrary, more often than not, most of our opportunities are like those described in the conclusion of John Killinger's sermon entitled "The Great Importance of Little Deeds." He said, "It's an exciting thought that when we die and come into the presence of God in all its fullness, it will not be our major achievements that speak for us." He was president of a bank, She was the first woman senator from her state. He was the author of 22 books. But the small, apparently inconsequential things that we long ago forgot. He mowed my lawn when I was sick. She cared for my child when I went to the market. He sent me flowers when I needed them most. She washed and mended my socks. These are the little things that hold the world together. They are the small stones that comprise the great cathedrals where God is worshiped. They shall be remembered, says Killinger, like stars in the crowns of saints. Friends, Christ's kind of love goes beyond the petty, self-centered model the world calls love. It even goes beyond the kind of love some churches practice when they are basically limiting Christ's love to themselves in outreach and prayer. Too often, these Christians' love looks and sounds like the guy who prays, "God, bless me and my wife, my son John and his wife, us four, and no more." Now, it certainly is appropriate to care about yourself and those closest to your heart and to lift to God our personal prayers and requests. Here at Ocean View, we make sure to do so during our prayer time together at each worship service. God wants us to do so. God loves us. And God loves our loved ones even more than we do. Yet God's love is so much greater, so much broader, so much higher, so much deeper than for just us four and no more. We know that we belong to God. We know we are daily being given opportunities to grow in grace, to be fulfilled and live satisfied lives. We know there are so many who do not know that there is a way for them to break out of whatever may be limiting them, whatever is enslaving them, whatever is robbing them of joy and peace and wholeness in life. They may be held captive by an attitude of mind. It may be an attitude of heart. They may be in the grip of some habit. They may be under the impact of illness of the body. It may be fear of an unknown future that casts the shadow. Christians, the fact is you may be just the salty one they need to get out of your shaker and minister to their needs. In the name of Jesus Christ, be salt. Right where you are. Start with those you know and those who know you. Then be open and go beyond to others as the Lord God leads. I want to close with a poem called Mulholland's Contract by Rudyard Kipling. It's a humorous story of a fellow named Mulholland who had a job way back in time on a large cattle ship. He experiences God's call to be salt, and he responds by witnessing for Christ right where he is. Mulholland's Contract. The fear was on the cattle, for the gale was on the sea, and the pens broke up on the lower deck and let the creatures free. And the lights went out on the lower deck, and no one near but me. I had been singing to them to keep them quiet, for the lower deck is the dangerousest, requiring constant care. And give to me as the strongest man, though used to drink and swear. I see my chance was certain of being horned or trod, for the lower deck was packed with steers, thicker than peas in a pod. And more pens broke at every roll, so I made a contract with God. And by the terms of the contract, as I have read the same, if he got me to port alive, I would exalt his name and praise his holy majesty till further orders came. He saved me from the cattle, and he saved me from the sea, for they found me 'tween two drowned ones where the roll had landed me, and a 4-inch crack on top of my head, as crazy as could be. But that were done by a stanchion and not by a bullock at all. And I lay still for 7 weeks, convalescent of the fall, and reading the shiny scripture texts in the seaman's hospital. And I spoke to God of our contract. And God says to my prayer, I never put on my ministers no more than they can bear. So back you go to the cattle boats and preach my gospel there. For human life is chancy at any kind of trade. But most of all, as well you know, when the steers are mad afraid. So you go back to the cattle boats and preach them as I've said. They must quit drinking and swearing. They mustn't knife on a blow. They must quit gambling their wages, and you must preach it so. For now those boats are more like hell than anything else I know. I didn't want to do it, for I knew what I should get. And I wanted to preach religion, handsome and out of the wet. But the word of the Lord was laying on me, and I done what I was set. I have been smit and bruised, as warned would be the case, and turned my cheek to the smiter, exactly as scripture says. But following that, I knocked him down and led him up to grace. And we have preaching on Sundays whenever the sea is calm, and I use no knife or pistol, and I never take no harm, for the Lord abideth back of me to guide my fighting arm. And I signed for £4.10 a month and saved the money clear. And I'm in charge of the lower deck, and I never lose a steer. And I believe in Almighty God and preach his gospel here. The skippers say I'm crazy, but I can prove them wrong. For I am in charge of the lower deck with all that doth belong, which they would not give to a lunatic, and the competition so strong. Well, the seaman was indeed a salty one, in more ways than one. He was not perfect, but he kept the contract with God as a disciple of Christ to the best of his ability. That's all Christ asks of any disciple. So, friends, got salt? Shake it out. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Let's pray. And as we pray, would you get out your salt packet? Hold it either in your hands or even hold it over your heart as we pray. Oh God, we pray that you come by the power of your Holy Spirit into our hearts and salt our spirits with his holy fire. Purify our hearts and influence our lives so that we live in your grace, power, and in peace. May our faith be as briny as the ocean all our lives long. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Lord, I have heard your voice.
Thank you so much, Lindsay and Greg. That was beautiful. You want to be sure not to lose your saltiness. As Lindsay's saying, the key is to draw nearer to Christ. Let him draw you nearer. And the closer we get to Christ, the saltier we become. And now let us receive the benediction and the charge. And just as a reminder, I'm not able to say goodbye to you as much as I would love to by shaking your hands out at the door, but I will be up front in case there's something that you'd like to share with me or to say. So let us receive the benediction. Go forth in peace, being as salty as you can. In the name of Christ, receiving the blessings of his love, his grace, his mercy, and then going forth and being his seasoning in this world. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen.